Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Let's start as we sing to God's glory. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place.
I'll just mention a little bit first, if I may, because you will notice MWM. That means men, women, men, women. So we'll start off with the men singing the line.
Oh, can I have the screen at the back, please?
The men will sing the first line and the ladies will come in and sing that line again. Men again, ladies again, and then we join together for two lines at the end. Now, we've sung this before, but it is quite a little while. So I'm going to sing with the men, so we'll start first. And Glenda will sing with the ladies, and she'll come in.
And I'm leaving.
She's going to run away.
Okay, so we'll give it a go. By the time we've sung three verses, there you go.
Morning. Let us hear the words from Song of Solomon's, chapter 2. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, for now the winter is past." It's for the day. Freesias, I don't know about this part, I'm not sure. Freesias and jonquils, daffodils and tulips colourfully signal the arrival of spring. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Air is fragrant with blossoms. The time of singing has come. Since it's the time of singing, let us stand together and sing. Morning has broken.
Oh,
come to God with our prayers. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you for welcoming and accepting us as your beloved children. You embrace us in Jesus. And if we could, we would echo the sounds and mimic the colours of creation in thanksgiving. As the earth responds to the changing seasons with buds and blooms, so we raise our voices in praise and adoration in response to your love and care for us. God of life and love, of growth and fruitfulness, we pray that our faith will blossom and flourish as renewed by your Spirit and sustained by your Son. We worship and adore you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We hear our notices this morning.
Good morning, everybody, on this first day of spring. We've gone straight to summer, though. This week, there's no Bible study for those who go to Bible study. Rosemary's going to the Northern Territory, so we hope she has a lovely trip. And then on Friday the 13th, it's the men's lunch, 12:15 at one table, and you need to let you and Perry know if you'd like to come to that. Please remember those who are unwell in our congregation and their families. Don has had a fall last week. I'm not quite sure how he is, but
he's home now.
Oh, that's good. And Avon is back in hospital. So please remember.
It's in the reflections.
Pardon?
Some details in the reflections.
Oh, details in the reflections. And don't forget our collections for the Women's Refuge too. Thank you.
We hear our epistle reading from James 1.
James 1, 17 to 27. Every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. By his own will, he brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all his creatures. Remember this, my dear friends. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. If you listen to the word but do not put it into practice, you are like people who look in the mirror and see themselves as they take a good look at themselves and then go away at once, forget what they look like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keeps on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice, you will be blessed by God in what you do. Do any of you think you are religious? If you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless and you deceive yourself. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering and to keep oneself from being corrupted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
If you looked at the front of the notices today, where are they? Yeah. Did anyone look at that and think there were two people there? Or is it one person not presenting themselves the same to themselves? I'll leave that for you to think about after that reading. Let's come to God with our prayers and confession. Let us pray. When the business of our lives erodes the intentions of our hearts, merciful God, forgive us. When our personal agendas take precedence over reaching out to others, merciful God, forgive us. When we keep putting off the more active doers of the word, merciful God, forgive us. When we resist change, knowing that our acting and thinking are limited to our prejudices and ignorance, merciful God,
forgive us.
When we only half listen to those who cry out to be fully heard, merciful God, forgive us. I allow you time to reflect back over those things for where that may have been your stance in the last week. Gracious and merciful God, forgive us for past faults and help us in the present and future to make ourselves more available to the hurting world surrounding us, a world that begins on our doorstep. Equip us to be patient and compassionate listeners, proclaiming the gospel not in overbearing ways, but sensitively and lovingly, strengthening us with the Holy Spirit to be fruitful and active witnesses to Jesus in all we do and say. We remain seated as we continue in prayer, singing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." We remain seated.
Make me a channel of your peace.
Become doers of the word and not merely hearers. We discover that it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive. Surely evidence of the implanted word that has power to save our souls. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of the living Lord be with you. Please stand and share the peace.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Also with you. Peace be with you. Also. Peace be with you.
Mark 7,
verses
1 to 8. Fourteen to 15 and 21 to 23. The teaching of the ancestors. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with hands that were ritually unclean. That is, they had not washed them in the way the Pharisees said people should. For the Pharisees, as well as the rest of the Jews, follow the teaching they received from their ancestors. They do not eat unless they wash their hands in the proper way, nor do they eat anything that comes from the market unless they wash it first. And they follow many other rules which they have received, such as the proper way to wash cups, pots, copper bowls, and beds. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why is it that your disciples do not follow the teachings handed down by our ancestors, but instead eat with ritually unclean hands?" Jesus answered them, "How right Isaiah was when he prophesied about you. You are hypocrites, just as he wrote, 'These people, says God, words, but their heart is really far away from me. It is no use for them to worship me, because they teach human rules as though they were my laws. You put aside God's command and obey human teaching. And the things that make a person unclean.'" Then Jesus called the crowd to him again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into you from the outside which will make you ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of you that makes you unclean. For from the inside, from your heart, come the evil ideas which lead you to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things: deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these things come from inside you and make you unclean." In this we hear the word of the Lord.
And I can't see it. I don't like hot food. That's just a statement. I don't like hot food. I don't mean heat, as in hot food that's made and it's too hot. But I mean like curries and spices. I get a pork roll from a place at Fairfield, a Vietnamese pork roll. They've only ever had it. Really good stuff if you've ever had a pork roll. But the lady who makes it sort of started making it really nice, and she just slowly edged the spice up in it. And it's getting to the point where my forehead starts to perspire as I eat it now. So when I go out to eat, and I like to try different food, I'll say to the person at the restaurant, "Is this hot?" And you get varied answers. And the answers really depend on the person, whether they like hot food or not. Because if they like hot food, they'll say, "Oh, no, it's not hot at all," when it is. And if they don't like hot food, they'll say, yes, it is," when it's not really. But I've worked out the answer. You order it and try it. Now, that doesn't always work well. Sometimes I have a really restless night after I've had something that actually is hot. And I know that my wife, when I do this, she looks at me and thinks I'm stupid.
Why would you order something that's going to make you feel bad? But it's fun. Not the looking stupid part, just the eating part. So why am I telling you this? Why have I told? Because I think people are like food. You can't really see what they're like until you try them out. Watch them in action and you'll find out what people are like. I sit in many meetings and I hear people speaking. And then I leave the meeting and I find out what they are actually like. And hold resonance as to what their actions are. Most of us are good watchers. Are you a good watcher? I love going to the shopping centres with my wife just because I like to watch people. But we're all good watchers in some way or another. According to research out of Princeton University, it takes 1/10 of a second for you to judge a person. 1/10 of a second. Harvard University is a little bit more generous. They say 7 seconds. And other general opinion is kind of around 7 seconds for you to see a person and decide whether you're going to like them or not. Now that's pretty good. You're pretty quick, aren't you? The troublesome part of that is that they take the same amount of time to judge you and decide whether they like you or not. And that's not quite as good. And sometimes it only takes a brief moment to create an opinion of someone. But it takes a lifetime to change it. And so you can see somebody and decide that they're whatever, and they might not be, but it takes you a long time to get from there to another place. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we acting good, every second of the day? Every second of the day. Or are people getting the wrong opinion about you because they saw you in one of those off moments? And Jesus talks about hypocrites. I think many non-church people see Christians as hypocrites a lot of the time. Not sure about you, but I've been called a hypocrite more than once, both by church people and by non-church people. The church people think I should be more holy and the non-church people think I'm too holy, or vice versa. It's really easy to form the wrong impression. So why do people then, the next question we need to ask ourselves, why do people see us incorrectly? And I say incorrectly because I hope that we're not hypocrites. I don't think we are. I don't think we are hypocrites. But some of the time people will see us maybe acting in that way. Maybe because our actions don't line up with our words. We may say something to someone and then go and do the opposite. And people are watching. Or it could be their expectations. And those two options are a long way apart. If our actions don't line up with our words, we have a problem. We have a problem. So it's always nice to check what you say and then what you do. We always have the need foremost in our conversations. Our conversation should be about the other person. As I wrote in Reflections, if you read Reflections this week, I wrote a piece on listening. Because I think as the new minister comes, it's going to be really important for you to listen to what the new minister is saying. And it's not just the words, it's the actions, the comments, the body language. If our listening is genuine, if we make commitments, do we carry them out? Do we say what we mean? Or do we say that which is correct for church? As I said, I've sat in a lot of church meetings, I've sat with a lot of church councils planning their mission plans. What's our mission plan? And I invariably, the first thing that comes up in most cases is we want to have young people. And I look around and I think, you haven't got a ghost of a chance. And I say, how do you plan to do that? Oh, well, we just want them to come. So words don't line up. There's other ways to grow a church. A whole raft of misaligned statements start happening. The bottom line in this is that we need to do some work on ourselves if that's the case. If it's us, then we need to do some work on ourselves. And this can take some time. It takes a lot of reflection, a lot of self-reflection. We're talking to those close to you and saying, you know, do I say what I want to mean? Do I say? I quite often ask my wife that, and her response normally is yes, unfortunately. But do we say what we mean, and do we carry it out? Expectations are different. Expectations are very hard to pin down. What do people outside of the church expect of church people? Particularly with TV these days. Because people get a lot of their understanding of church from TV shows about churches. But it also comes from the term Christian. When you say you're a Christian, there's certain things you're allowed to do and not allowed to do according to the secular world. And I'm never surprised when I go to a family that doesn't have a church background, but they want a Christian funeral, that their expectations are somewhat like the Vicar of Diddley's funeral service. Because they've seen that and they understand that. I did a funeral for a retired colonel once for his mum, and he wanted to carry the coffin in on his shoulder with a team of people. And I said no. That was his expectation of what a funeral should be like. He said, no, you'll be right, but the others won't. And we don't want to drop her on the way in. So expectations do change. We need to make this a safe place. I mean, I often get called a priest. How are you, Father? I'm pastor now. They're good. Expectations of what the church is like, and it's all from TV and other places. If you've told someone that you're a Christian, I'm sure there may have been some confusion about your beliefs from a non-church friend. You may have even been called a hypocrite. I have to admit that sometimes I definitely have been, and there is confusion. So what can we do about that? What can we do? I do not think the royal stance of never complain, never explain actually is the best option here. Because when people are confused about you and your Christianity, it's a great learning opportunity for them and for you. To try and explain to a friend what is happening in your life. The fact that you don't always have to act holier than thou to be a good Christian. Come to church every Sunday. If there's something for the family or some other thing that's holding you away, that's okay. You don't have to be always on your knees. But we can also check with them on what their behaviour of us they expect. Perhaps there's something in their view that we're missing. Are we using outdated practices? Are we saying things which are no longer relevant to this world that we live in? Are we holding on to the past? Whoops, missed a few. Are we holding on to the past? Because that's a safe place for us to be. And therefore, the world has moved on. Are we using our traditions as a comfortable shield? The phrase, "this is the way we do it." Have you ever heard that said in this church? This is the way we do it? That has killed so many churches, it's not funny, that one statement. This is the way we do it. It's not a, it's a mindset that people outside the church don't understand because they have never done it that way before. And they're bringing their ideas into this place. Our God is a changing, is a God of change. I don't know whether you ever thought about that, that our God is a God of change. We always talk about God being consistent, don't we? But God is a God of change. Let me explain. God had a plan for the world in the beginning. People, God made people, that was good. Look after the place for me, not a problem. I'll walk with them because I made them and they are my people. Great. But we didn't. God changed and sent a prophet. Good for a while. Told the people, back on the plan we are. Then not so much. And God sent another prophet. And this repeated over and over and over, and God kept on changing with the world that God was controlling by sending prophets. And then Jesus. And God is still changing. We need to be open to God's change so that we don't get stuck and called hypocrites for being where we are, stuck in the mud. Particularly when that change includes us. We need to be able to put aside our traditions and stop hiding behind them and step out in the light. Because Jesus is in the light and Jesus wants to walk with us. Doing it Jesus' way will always keep us where the people are and where God wants us to be. Not the traditional way, but the Jesus way. Because with Jesus there is nothing to hide. It's all in the open where people can see it. And it's really hard to call someone a hypocrite when you can see everything about them. And in that light, people will see us and this congregation in a completely new way. And I only have one comment about that. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's sing our next hymn. Fill my light, fill thou my life, O Lord my God.
Fill my heart, oh Lord, my God.
Please be seated. We have our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession.
Is it Father's Day today?
It is.
It is. Okay, good. I don't trust Google when it tells me it's something because I get it wrong sometimes because I think England has it before us and I always get them confused. Anyway, so I will include that last bit. That's fine. To our dear Holy Father, who art in heaven, good morning and thank you for the little bit of coolness still left in the air. We feel like spring might have been bypassed a little and summer has come early, but thank you for the sunshine and the blue skies and the flowers. Thank you for every good and perfect gift you give us, Father of Heavenly Light, and thank you for your steadfastness in our lives. Please lend us your warmth as we join together in prayer and sacrament here with each other and in your spirit with those who can't come this morning. Please forgive us for taking your consistency for granted. I said consistency, sorry. Please take us. Please forgive us for that. Please forgive us when we let the things that we should change remain in place and discard the really important things that shouldn't depart from us. Lord, there are so many systems and ideologies and attitudes and prejudices in this world that we have built for ourselves that only do harm. They have been here so long, we can't even imagine what the world would look like without them. It's almost like we don't want to get rid of them because we are scared of what we'll look like without them around. Lord God, please forgive us for our fear and for our resistance to trying to change. It kind of feels like that change on a grand scale has to basically be a miracle at this point. Please forgive us for tossing our hands up and casting all responsibility on you. Please forgive us for not actively trying to be your voice in the world and your hands on deck to make the change happen. We know you are for us and for our good as a whole. Lord God, if there is anything we can do is to help as a church, please show us how. Thank you for your modern prophetic voices, even if we still haven't learnt our lesson to actually listen to them. Thank you for your help in giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Please help us listen well and become wise. We really do appreciate all the help we can get. Father of Heavenly Lights, please help us turn to you like sunflowers and follow your guidance and your warmth all through the day. Please help us drink in your love and your light until it dispels all our darkness. Please help us nourish ourselves on your word and follow the example of your Son when the time is right for us to go to seed. Please help us to know when to plant. Please help the new seedlings grow. And please help us share the living water with your community and our new minister as we move into a new stage of growth at Kenmore. Thank you for your sunshine, Dad, and happy Father's Day. Sincerely, amen.
And as we come to God with our responses of finance and ourselves, let us sing, Lord, I come to you.
Away.
All generous acts have their beginning in God's generosity towards us, a generosity revealed above all in Jesus, the greatest gift of all. Such a gift invites us to generously give also. Receive these gifts, O God, for we offer them and our lives to be blessed and used in the doing of your word, witnessing to Jesus' love and serving others in his name. May what we give and what we do in Jesus' name be a true and worthy actions of our hearts. Amen. Remain standing, because we're going to sing again. We sing, Here is Bread. Please be seated. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. Living God, we offer our thanks and praise to you, Creator of all things, Lover of all humanity. You revealed your unending love as you spoke freedom to your people enslaved in Egypt and led them through the wilderness. You invited them to leave the winter of their lives behind and enter the land of promise. And having led them to the land of promise, they remembered your goodness with their mouths, but failed to reflect your goodness with their lives. You spoke through the prophets, and when their words were unheeded, you spoke a new word which would be an eternal reminder that the language of your love is unchanging and endless, as your word became flesh and lived among us. And so, with all the company of heaven and earth, we praise your holy name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, this meal which we share today is indeed a celebration of your love for the world. Love spoken and revealed by Jesus, your beloved Son, our Lord. In him, living bread, our hunger is eternally satisfied and our thirst forever quenched. For on the night of his betrayal, as he sat at the table, he broke bread with his friends and he said, Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Remember me each time you do this. After that eaten, he took the cup and said, Remember me as you drink from this, for it is my life poured out for you, the beginning of a new relationship with God. Let us pray. God of all power, we praise you for these signs of your everlasting love and pray that you will breathe your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the life of Christ, that we may make that life visible through our faithful witness. In his name, in Jesus' name we pray. We pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the cup we take are a sharing in the body and blood of Christ, the gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus, wisdom of God, have mercy upon us. Jesus, word made flesh, have mercy upon us. Jesus, liberator of creation, grant us your peace. This is an open table of the Lord for all those who know the Lord a little, or maybe not at all, but wish to know him more. Come, for all is prepared. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for each one of us. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. Let's come to God in prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for making this one ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with Jesus, his living bread. May we go from here refreshed and eager to nourish others with his life and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we sing our final hymn today, Touch the Earth Lightly. So go into God's harvest field, blessed by the generous love of God, the perfect love of Jesus Christ, and the empowering love of the Holy Spirit. And may the feet of God walk with you.